This is Jeffrey Lichtman for Beyond the Legal Limit, and I'm going to paint you a picture. It's April 29th. You worked hard your whole life. You're a parent who did things the right way. You worked hard. You may have come from another country for the American dream. Perhaps your parents came here for the American dream. You worked hard, you toiled, and you did it because you wanted to afford better things for your children. You wanted them to have a better life than you. You taught your kids the right lessons to work hard, to always study, to do the right thing, and they rewarded you by getting into a great college. And then you find out that the following is going on at your kid's campus, at the school, when you drop them off. You entrusted them to take care of your most precious thing, your children. This is what occurred. Wow. And then you find out that this screaming savage is part of a radical Muslim violent pro-Hamas encampment permitted on campus, screaming at your Jewish kids, hoping that they're dead. And the university just stands by complicit, allowing this. You'd lose your fucking mind. If you're a Columbia University student, this is what you hear as you're walking across campus last week from a Hamas supporter screaming into a microphone as you walk on your college campus that your parents paid $80,000 a year for you to go to. You're an economics major, rushing to a class. Finals are just in a couple of weeks. Well, you need to be exposed to a Hamas terrorist in full hijab, screaming, shrieking that there is no God but Allah, and praising the Hamas martyrs who died in the war after massacring 1,200 Israelis. They can't do it in their rooms. No. They can't scream for Allah in their mosque. No. They can't even scream for Allah outside without an amplifier. No. Nope. Everyone on campus needs to hear it. And this type of slop is repeated all over college campuses today. And the radical Muslims and their useful, idiot, white liberals supporters are completely out of control. Bottom line, it's a small group of well-funded terror supporters on each campus who are destroying the college experience for every other kid on campus. Kids who took out loans to go to these schools, kids whose parents paid tuition out of the money that they earned from working hard, unlike the terror students who are privileged assholes who oftentimes come here and they're just, everything's paid for. They're unconcerned if they're expelled or if they're suspended. Listen to their interviews. They don't care. They'll tell you at Columbia, I don't care if I'm arrested. I'm coming back for jihad. That's all that matters. It's wildly unfair that Muslim terrorists and their useful idiot supporters get to destroy college, the college experience, for hardworking kids who are actually majoring in something other than social activism. Believe it or not, some kids go to college to get a degree, not to scream about destroying Israel. But let me state a few facts from the start. These well-funded protests are designed to push propaganda and intimidate the students on campus. That's why they take over the central part of every campus. That's why they bring their tents. That's why they shout their violent slogans. Despite what they'll tell you, they tell you that they're all peaceful, but they're not. You know that they're not. Your eyes work. Your ears work. And this is really just the starting point. They started terrorizing the campuses on October 7 after Hamas committed a genocide inside Israel as a ceasefire was in effect. So what do the protesters claim? That Israel is committing a genocide inside Gaza and all the protesters want is a ceasefire. They had one on October 6. and the protests began on the very day that Hamas committed a genocide. Well-funded, well-coordinated, all the signs printed up, ready to go. Isn't that funny how they just happened to pop up all on the very day of the massacre, before Israel even responded? They were still fighting off the savages inside Israel. And already on the campuses, the protests started. As I said, the tents are all the same, the signs are all the same, they're all prepared, food is brought in, crafts and books are handed out for free inside these encampments. They're little villages. It's been reported that George Soros is funding these organizations that are protesting on campus. Certainly the Muslim terror group, the Students for Justice in Palestine, are involved nationally. That's obvious. Might be time to have a congressional hearing to find out who's been paying for all these protests and how much has been paid since October 7. Drag them all in front of Congress. Don't make it a show. You want the damn answers. Surely there are outside agitators involved, foreign countries. How can you let this go on and not find out who is behind this? Who is trying to destroy our universities? Who's trying to take over? But let me say to start, there is no genocide in Gaza, but there are genocidal terrorists inside Gaza. The lie about a genocide is simply to pressure Israel to withdraw to save Hamas. If there really was a genocide going on, wouldn't Hamas just simply agree to a ceasefire? I'm not saying surrender. Wouldn't they agree to a ceasefire? They've turned down dozens. Every single one of them. If it's such a genocide and they care so much about their people, wouldn't they just take one of the lopsided ceasefires that are offered them? It's ridiculous. Here's another fact. These protests, this unrest on college campus, can be eliminated in 48 hours on every campus in America. Easily. Easily. The problem? Many of the schools want this. I've been talking about the dangers of radical Islam on American campuses on the radio since 2011. 2011, I started talking about it. These schools take in money from Muslim terror states. The Muslim terror states insist that the schools hire radical Muslim terror supporters as professors and admit radical Muslim terror kids from Muslim terror states into the universities. The leftist school administrators are good with this because they obviously want the money. They're liberals, after all. And they're on board with the Muslim terror agenda because they're liberals, after all. Remember, we gave academia to the far left. It's a happy marriage. Some schools have decided to let the mask slip now and reveal what they really are instead of pretending to not be radical Islamist shitholes being manipulated. It's all on the table now. Which schools are willing to be perceived as radical Islamist shitholes and which schools don't want to be perceived as such? You're either okay with Muslim terror or you're against it. And that's why you see schools like Vanderbilt, University of Indiana, Arizona State, they're busting this Muslim terror shit up. While schools like Columbia, Cornell, Harvard, Northwestern, USC, UCLA are openly allowing the Muslim terrorists to terrorize their campuses. Lines have been drawn here. Sides have been chosen. Any school that allows the Muslim terror horde to take over is clearly complicit because it's so easy to end. These are purportedly students that are doing all the violent protesting. Arrest them, expel them, deport the ones that are not citizens. You clean this up very quickly. Now, the terror students on campus lie about everything, much as Hamas does. I mean, this is what radical Islam is. It's all about just lying to try to get your propaganda passed. And as I said, everything is propaganda. Just what like Hamas and their supporters have been doing on social media since October 7. They claim no rapes occurred by Hamas on October 7. They claim that October 7 was justified. It was a resistance. They claim that October 7 was an inside job. They claim that Israel is committing a genocide, as I said, in Gaza. They claim that there are mass graves inside Gaza. That's false. They claim that they're protesting for peace. After all, they just want a ceasefire. As for the genocide claim, the war is like 7 months old and there's maybe 30,000 dead. It's hard to determine how many are dead because Hamas keeps changing the number. And of course, they lie about everything. Half of the people dead are probably Muslim terrorists, Hamas terrorists. The rest are either human shields used by Hamas, because we know that they want there to be more dead civilians for propaganda purposes. Many they killed, either by errant rockets, or they're just killing them because people wanted to get some aid from the trucks. Well, you got to shoot them. The more you kill when you're Hamas, the more Gazans you kill, the more you can blame on Israel. There's over 2 million people in Gaza, 30,000 dead in 7 months. What kind of fucking genocide is that? They say they're all about peace, but as I said, the very ceasefire they're calling for is designed solely to get Israel out of Gaza so Hamas can survive the war to kill again. Their protests, their occupation of all these college campuses are not about peace. Remember, they don't like occupation unless they're the ones doing it. The Hamas campus protests have never been about peace. At none of these rallies, at none of these protests, these hate fests, have the protesters called for peace with Israel. Does that sound like peaceful people? They have never called for peaceful coexistence with Israel, or for the return of the hostages, or regret for the massacre, or for Hamas to surrender and end the war, or for Hamas to accept any of the ceasefire offers they've been given. They're calling for a ceasefire, but they're not pressuring Hamas to actually take one. So the protesters are for a ceasefire, and Hamas is against every ceasefire offered. Why are the protesters supporting terrorists who are against what they claim they're for? The protesters say they want peace, but Hamas is bombing the pier that was being built to get aid into Gaza for the people Hamas claims are starving from the war. Does that sound like people that want peace? They say they want peace, but they are constantly calling for the murder of Israelis. They are constantly calling for Palestine from the river to the sea. That is a genocide. You're not convinced? The head of Hamas explained in an interview that, yes, that's exactly what from the river to the sea means, to destroy Israel and everything inside it. And in case you're dumb enough or dishonest enough to suggest that protesters want peace, I want you to listen to this. So-called protesters, peaceful protesters, actually Muslim terrorists and their supporters screaming, "Al-Qassam, you make us proud. Kill another soldier now at Columbia University. Here it is. Go ahead and play it." Does that sound like peaceful protesting? Or does it sound like Muslim terrorists? Now, as I've said on this podcast, none of this happens, either the October 7 massacre or the destruction of our campuses, without Joe Biden. His fingerprints are all over it. His open castigation of Israel, his refusal to blame Hamas, that's what gave the Jew-hating world the green light to pile on Israel. His constant communication to Iran that America does not want to be involved in any attack by Israel on Iran, that's what emboldened Iranian attacks against Israel. All he had to do was say nothing, and Iran could wonder, will America get involved? Instead, he made sure that they would feel safe if they attacked Israel. His constant pressure on Israel, stopping them from finishing off Hamas and Rafah. And it's what caused Hamas to refuse every ceasefire offer thus far, because they know that America is pressuring Israel and not them. I am convinced that Hamas will accept a ceasefire offer before Israel goes into Rafah. We'll find out in the next few days. But the price Israel will pay will be a much higher price because of Joe Biden's stance on Israel, the Democratic Party. And that's why the campuses are erupting. They know the government is with them and won't do a thing to stop, but offer some weak lip service to the Jews that are voting for them. All Joe Biden had to do was tell Hamas, "We're coming in if you don't release the hostages. You killed 40 Americans, and we're not going to take it." He wouldn't do that and instead came down hard on Israel. This is why Hamas is thanking American jihadist students for all their efforts in disrupting American universities. This is why our enemy Iran is thanking American jihadist students for all their efforts in disrupting American universities. Imagine being such a fucking loser that Hamas is thanking you for your work. Joe Biden doesn't even care that Hamas and Iran are basically thanking him. He gave them all the green light to know it'll be okay, that there won't be any pushback. He didn't push back in Gaza, and he won't push back in America. He's barely said a word as horrible anti-Semitism and violence sweeps across our college campuses. Keep voting Dem, Jews. Keep voting for the ovens that they want to stick you in. Now, look, I hate Trump. You've heard this 1,000 times from me. He's an idiot. He didn't do nearly enough that he could have in his 4 years in office. He's a damn fool. But compared to Joe Biden and the Democrats, he might as well be Abraham Lincoln. Ron DeSantis would obliterate this shit. But we're stuck with Trump. We don't have a choice. If you're sane, you don't have a choice. You vote for him. Back to the campuses. Now, I know we're supposed to recognize that students, that the terror students' First Amendment right to free speech, like we did when the Nazis marched in Skokie, Illinois, a largely Jewish village of which there were many Holocaust survivors. That occurred in the late 70s. But the Hamas marches on campus, to me, are much different. The protesters here are violent. They're threatening violence. They're supporting a foreign enemy which has killed Americans. That's not free speech when you threaten. The idea that fanatics worshiping Hamas on campus with their faces covered by keffiyehs are somehow not capable of quickly becoming killers is ludicrous. Of course they are. And the group that sponsors these protests all over America, Students for Justice in Palestine, is a Muslim terror group. Keep in mind two things. The campus chapters of the SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine, are the prime movers. Here is what the National SJP said about the October 7 massacre before any Israeli response, before just trying to stop the massacre from continuing. On October 7, quote, "A historic win for the Palestinian resistance across land, air, and sea. Our people have broken down the artificial barriers of the Zionist entity. This is what it means to free Palestine, not just slogans and rallies, but armed confrontation with their oppressors." This was inside Israel. They went inside Israel. The SJP openly supports Hezbollah and other Muslim terror groups, Hamas, and openly supports the murder of Israelis inside Israel. They're telling you. They're affiliated with the Muslim terror group, the Muslim Brotherhood, and they have numerous convicted terrorists as alumni. They raise money for Palestinian killer terrorists. The idea that these savages deserve anything but incarceration or deportation is mind-boggling. At the very least, they should be kicked off of every campus in America. They do not deserve any protection from the First Amendment on any campus in America. They preach violence and hatred. They're not allowed to abuse other students in the name of freedom of speech. If they don't go far enough to deserve arrest, as I said, expel them from the school. There's plenty of smart high school students who are better candidates than these Islamists, and they can take their place. You think these terror students got into school with high SATs? Are you kidding? I mean, come on. Dealing with these terrorists on campus is very simple, as I said, but it requires some will, which is exactly what the terrorists are hoping for, that the schools don't want to fight back, and they haven't. You don't let them occupy anything on campus. The University of Florida, naturally, in a state headed by Ron DeSantis, threatened pro-Palestinian student demonstrators with suspension and banishment from campus for 3 years. If they violate a host of rules of behavior. There were protests on campus in Florida, and the school made clear what would happen next. The university said employees or professors caught breaking their rules would be terminated. Some of the rules were specific, prohibiting protesters from using bullhorns or speakers to amplify their voices, possessing weapons, or protesting inside buildings on campus. Other rules stated no disruption would be allowed on campus, no threats, no tents, no sleeping on campus, no littering, no blocking anyone's path. All that shit is reasonable. If you do anything like this, you're suspended for 3 years. That's how you handle your Muslim terror business. Permitted activities included speech, expressing viewpoints, and holding signs in hands. Florida is making it clear, if you impede students' right to enjoy their university, you will be removed and expelled or suspended. That ends the problem. I don't care if it means you expel 1,000 of these terror students at each of these schools. If you really want to clean up your campus and get rid of Hamas, that's how you do it. Zero tolerance. Somehow at Columbia, they decided instead of to have negotiations with terror students. That's the difference between wanting to make your campus safe for all students and wanting to elevate the radical Muslim terror platform to legitimize it. Columbia surrendered immediately. And it's not like they were beaten down and lost. Through President Shafik, they willingly surrendered because Shafik and the Columbia faculty, the administration, they agree with the pro-terror protesters. When the protesters took over the lawn at Columbia, they set up tents. They refused to let, what they said, Zionists, what they really mean, Jews. They wouldn't even let them go onto the lawn. Shafik had a handful of kids arrested and suspended, some others. This was all for show. She had just been dragged before Congress and made a fool over her school's open support for Jew hate just a couple of weeks ago. She felt she had no choice but to make a bit of a show of caring about stopping it. The savages, of course, came back, and instead of cleaning the mess up once and for all, Shafik just gave in. She clearly didn't want them removed from campus. She gave them a deadline to leave, but deadline after deadline kept getting pushed back. She said she'd negotiate with the terrorists. When the terrorist students didn't get what they want, they walked out of negotiations. Did she call the police at that point? No, she made all the classes remote for the remainder of the year as the campus was swarming with radical Muslim terror supporters. So you're paying 80, 90 grand a year to attend this shithole school, and you can't go to class anymore? She's punishing tens of thousands of students who just want to go to college to study, to learn, because she insisted upon giving radical Muslim terror students and their useful idiot supporters what they wanted. She put them first. And her deadline was never firm. The student terrorists claimed that in negotiations, she's giving them everything that they want. I mean, it's not like they're brilliant negotiators. They're fucking morons. But she agrees with them. She's just play acting. So negotiations go much easier when both sides are the same. And let me say this, our universities are not for the savages to shit on. You don't get to make demands. You don't get to set up your fucking tents in common areas where other students are permitted to walk without having to dodge your garbage and your keffiyeh-wearing terrorists. That's a dangerous situation that you created. You don't get to decide what the university invests in. You don't own the university. You're a guest for 4 years. When you were admitted, you weren't told you get to be the portfolio manager for the school's endowment. You don't get to tell Jewish kids that they're not allowed in certain areas of the university. You don't get to make demands. Who the fuck told you that you were in charge? Who the fuck told you that you can be violent and threaten police and students? Who the fuck told you that this is the shithole Muslim terror state you came from and that there are no rules here? You don't get to decide which laws you will respect and follow in America and claim that you won't follow the law because you're doing your social justice bullshit. That's not America. Every kid who attends these schools have rights too. Your extremist and violent views don't take precedent over the views and rights of everyone else on campus. In fact, your views, calling for the destruction of Israel, the death of Jews, support for Muslim terror groups, that puts your views behind other students who simply want to be educated. Now, if you follow the news, you'd know that I sued Columbia University 2 weeks ago on behalf of a student who was suspended for 2 years at Columbia and barred from campus. What was his crime? He and his friend sprayed a $10 novelty non-toxic fart spray during an unsanctioned Hamas hate rally on campus, where the savages were marching around them calling for the death of Jews. He and a friend were mortified as their Jewish students at Columbia and their classmates are calling for their deaths. That's something you'd want to spend 80 grand a year to happen to you on your college campus. Now, the fart spray, it smells bad, but it's completely harmless. It's a gag gift. There's a cartoon of a pile of shit with arms and legs and eyes, and he's got a dastardly smile on the bottle. It's non-toxic. It's harmless. There's no questions that the students sprayed the non-toxic harmless spray, my client, as they were captured on surveillance video with the very bottle with the cartoon on it during the hate rally. And they submitted to Columbia during a disciplinary hearing the very receipt of the purchase of the fart spray just a few days before the rally. Colombia doesn't dispute this, and in fact provided this proof to Congress during a hearing on anti-Semitism at Colombia that the so-called chemical agent was actually harmless fart spray. Now, the jihadist students at the hate rally smelled the bad smell, but they had no idea what it was. No one was treated medically immediately after the rally when the police showed up, because as I said, the spray was harmless. My client sprayed it. He somehow, it didn't affect him, and he was ground zero for the spray. Soon after, the jihadist students realized that the sprayers had to be their enemies, which means they assumed it was Zionists. After all, who else would want to break up a violent jihadist protest calling for the murder of Jews and the destruction of Israel? Obviously, somebody who's not a terrorist. Suddenly, the jihadist students started pretending they were really sick and they needed medical attention. They didn't know what the smell was, so naturally they lied, because that's what Hamas supporters do. They began telling the media that they were sprayed with toxic chemicals, a bioweapon, a chemical weapon, an endocrine disruptor, whatever the fuck that is. One of the biggest liars claimed that her endometriosis became worse. She spent days and days in the hospital. Her vision was affected. And naturally, because she's a Palestinian supporter, she began begging for money online due to her fake affliction. The entire jihadist community pretended they were poisoned by a bioweapon, which was actually $10 novelty fart spray that junior high school kids bring to a party. This was sprayed outside. When it was discovered via surveillance video who the fart sprayers were, the jihadist students doxed the two Israeli students, revealed their identities, threatened them. Colombia didn't do a thing. We had a disciplinary hearing, and Colombia did not challenge our proof that the spray was non-toxic, novelty, harmless fart spray. And they still suspended the students for 2 full years and would not let them onto the campus. 2 years. What we didn't know, though, at the time was that Colombia wasn't doing a thing to any of the jihadist students. The disciplinary hearings are secret. They're sealed. We don't know what's going on. But those jihadist students are calling for the murder of Jews. They're openly threatening Jews. They're calling for the final solution during these illegal hate rallies, and no one gets suspended. 2 Israeli kids sprayed a harmless fart spray, and they got kicked off campus and suspended for 2 years. And in January of this year, a transvestite activist for Hamas at Colombia who uses pronouns he, she, they. I got to be honest with you. I'm a social liberal. How the fuck can you be he, she, and they? That means you have no pronouns if you have all the pronouns. He was brought before a disciplinary committee at around the same time my client was suspended for a harmless fart spray. This activist, Kimani James, had stated in an Instagram post that he was prepared to kill Zionists. That means Jews. That means Jews. They're just saying Zionists because that's the right word. That's the safe word. I would think that's a bit more concerning than fart spray. Don't you think? Colombia brought him before a disciplinary committee, or he had an interview, and he live streamed it. In the video, he doubled down and said that he was prepared to kill Zionists because Zionists, like Nazis, do not deserve to live. Listen to this shit. Go ahead and play it.
I'm Kimani James. I use he, she, they pronouns. Zionists in my DM wanting to meet up and fight. I don't fight to injure or for there to be a winner or a loser. I fight to kill. See y'all in New York, January 2024.
Mm-hmm. So that's specifically what we're going to be discussing today. Do you see why that's problematic in any way?
No.
And here's some more.
What is a Zionist? A white supremacist. And so let's be very clear here. I'm not saying that I'm going to go out and start killing Zionists. What I'm saying is that if an individual who identifies as a Zionist threatens my physical safety in person, i.e. puts their hands on me, I am going to defend myself. And in that case scenario, it may come to a point where I don't know when to stop. Does that make sense?
I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. There should not be Zionists anywhere.
Did I call him he? I can't. Is that one of the pronouns I'm allowed to use? I honestly don't know. If it's he, she, and they, Does that mean you call them all at the same time or any of them? I'm going to call it it. So it is saying it is prepared to kill Zionists and the Zionists don't deserve to live. It also makes it clear that it doesn't believe it can control itself from killing Jews. And Columbia did nothing about it. As I said, the two Jewish kids get suspended immediately for fart spray, but this freak gets a free pass. Fast forward a few months, the Hamas supporters have now taken over the center of the campus with their tents, and they're not allowing any Jews to walk through the lawn, which is, again, the center of campus. They have their own security. They have their own set of laws, and this is allowed. Who is the student leader for the Muslim terrorists on campus? Well, it's Kimani James. Here's some Jews who tried to walk through the lawn and were stopped. Listen to this insane zombies who follow this transvestite maniac. Imagine being so fucking stupid and pathetic that you'd actually listen. You'd actually follow anything that this crazed he, she, they, it monster said. Here's the audio. Listen to this.
Excuse me. Do you see what you guys are doing to us?
We are going to
slowly. You see how hostile this is, and you're asking me not to record?
Walk and take a step forward.
Yeah, I absolutely feel threatened right now.
So that we can. Start to push them. Out of the camp.
One step forward.
Another step forward. We ask
that you please respect
our privacy
and our community guidelines
which you have so far disrespected and leave our camp. One step forward.
And here's some more. Listen to this.
You guys don't have to do this, you know? You're all here because we're here. Why are you giving us
We were here
power?
Before you came here.
I understand that, but you're doing what
Repeat
you're doing.
After me!
Repeat after me!
I'm bored!
We would like you to leave!
You just did that for me!
Repeat after me! I'm bored!
They would not let any Jews pass. So Columbia let this mentally ill freak stay on campus and let it abuse other students of the university after he threatened to kill Jews to them. They didn't learn about it from somebody else. He told them that he was prepared to kill Jews. They knew this. Zero punishment. This monster was giving press conferences on campus, right by the illegal Hamas encampment. Columbia's COO, Cass Holloway, was seen standing behind the crowd of reporters watching. The university's COO is watching a press conference that legitimizes the illegal Hamas mob, and he did nothing about it, even though he knew that Kimani James had threatened to murder Jews during a Columbia disciplinary hearing. Imagine what this thing, this he, she, they, it, says when it's not before a Columbia disciplinary panel. He, she, they, it was interviewed by ABC TV last week, the other day, and was asked if it disavowed the threats to murder Jews it made in January. It refused and doubled down instead. Finally, the video of its murder threats went viral and Columbia banned it from campus. Not because they're just learning about these threats. As I said, the threats were made to them. They banned this thing because of the bad publicity, period. Nothing can stop jihad. If we have to sacrifice our own, we do it, just like in Gaza. There's no word on whether this thing, this monstrosity, was even suspended like my client was. 15 years ago at Columbia, they had tons of jihadist students. I know. If you made violent threats, you were expelled, you were deported. Now, you make a threat and the COO supports you openly. Nobody gives a shit anymore. That's how far we've come. Suffice it to say, Columbia is a violent Islamist shithole. obviously unsafe for Jews. It's so bad that the university's Orthodox rabbi sent a message to Jewish students urging them to stay away from campus until it's deemed to be safe again. For over 20 years, a Columbia professor named Joseph Massad has been accused of Jew hate. The same professor still remains employed, poisoning the minds of young students as he celebrated the October 7 massacre. And again, let me be clear. Columbia University is not a victim of the Muslim terror supporters that have ruined their campus. They want this. They pretend that they don't, but they clearly do. First of all, they've hired Muslim professors with known anti-Semitic views. They hired the spokesman for the fucking PLO, a Palestinian terror organization headed by Yasser Arafat, the original Palestinian terrorist, who of course was born in Egypt, not in Palestine. And guess what? The professor, Rashid Khalidi, was bringing in violent Muslim terror students to Columbia who promptly acted, can you guess, violently on campus, and they were removed and deported back to their countries. That violence occurred 12, 13 years ago at Columbia. Did Columbia learn? No, because they want that on the campus. Why else hire Jew-hating professors? Why else admit Jew-hating students? Why does Columbia take in students from Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, the Palestinian territories, and expect that Jewish students won't be abused by these people from Muslim terror states? Well, in a poll, people from Egypt were asked their opinions of Jews. 95% of Egyptians held unfavorable views about Jews. 97% hate Jews in Jordan, 98% in Lebanon, 97% in Palestinian territories. You bring these savages to New York City, you think it's going to be quiet when they see a Jew on campus? Columbia wants this. They want their school to be made up of this demographic. They accept like 4% of applications. They can shape their community any way they wish. And yet somehow, year after year, they managed to accept so many Jew haters to be taught by Jew-hating professors. Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 provides that no person in the United States shall, on the ground of race, color, national origin, as well as religion, shall be discriminated against under any program, that includes a college, receiving federal financial assistance. That is Columbia. That's what Columbia does to Jews. In addition, when the NYPD was brought in to briefly remove the protesters before Columbia allowed the terrorists back in, there were a handful of arrests, including the daughter of Muslim terror supporter and Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. These students were arrested, suspended, and told to stay off campus. But of course, the very next day, they were spotted on campus and were telling people that their suspensions were being lifted. My client? Still not allowed on the campus, still suspended. For fart spray. And the various Hamas students who claimed that they were sprayed with a chemical weapon by my client, despite learning that it was a harmless fart spray, are still lying about it, claiming that it was a bioweapon. They're just going along with the lie. That's what Hamas does. On top of all this, Columbia President Shafik appeared, as I said, before Congress 2 weeks ago and was asked about Muhammad Abdu, a Columbia professor who teaches, listen to this, decolonial queerness and abolition, among other classes at the school. Imagine going to a school that teaches decolonial queerness and abolition. Fuck you! He described himself as a Muslim anarchist and celebrated the October 7 massacre in front of students. He said he was also with Hamas, Hezbollah, and Islamic Jihad. President Shafik testified before Congress at the Columbia anti-Semitism hearing and was asked by Representative Stefanik of New York if Professor Abdu was still working at Columbia. Abdu will never work at Columbia again, Shafik said, under oath, penalties of perjury. He has been terminated, not just terminated, but his files will show that he will never work at Columbia again, whatever the fuck that means, except she lied under oath. He was not terminated, and he was seen on campus the very next day in an undercover video. He claimed that President Shafik lied when saying that she would fire him during their recent congressional testimony. Abdu said of Shafik, I'm not fired. I'm not. It was all a sham of a lie. He continued saying that Shafik's remark was intended only to appease faculty and students who had been calling for his head. I mean, they're just defying Congress at this point. Needless to say, the lawsuit that I brought against Colombia is going to be brutal. And I'm not settling it until I get to depose President Shafik, the killer transvestite it thing, this Kamani Janes, Hamas professors, Abdu, Mossad, and all the students who lied about being sprayed with a bioweapon, including Congressman Hamas's daughter. They have no defense. None. They have no defense. And to show their arrogance, they haven't even called us up, at least to offer to reinstate our client to the school. Only the Muslim terrorists who are suspended get reinstated. And to add one more thing, over the weekend, Professor Muhammad Abdu, also known as Professor Jihad, he's back on campus. Not a worry in the world, he spotted. Pictures of him with his cigarettes and his lighter and all of his other disgusting bullshit. He's sitting there sunning on campus. We were told by President Shafik that he was banned from campus and fired. He wasn't. It's a lie. In addition, Kamani James, the angry, violent, would-be Jew killer transvestite on campus Saturday night, not a care in the world. None of these people were banned from campus, even though we were told that they were. The only ones that are banned are the fart-spraying Jews. The fart-spraying Jews are the scary ones that need to be kept away. All of this will come out in the lawsuit, and you can imagine who's going to be paying for this. And this is clearly coordinated Jew hate all over college campuses in America. At Cal Poly, the savages took over two campus buildings. They shit all over them inside, refused to leave. They wrote graffiti all over the walls and renamed the building Intifada Hall. That's when the Palestinians were slaughtering Jews in Israel. Naturally, the administration allowed this. Did they send the police in to evict the terrorists? No, they just shut the school down until the fall. That's fair to all the other students that actually paid to go there. At USC in Los Angeles, they had to cancel their commencement ceremony due to fears of violence from Hamas supporters. At UCLA, Hamas supporters assaulted Native Americans at a protest when the Native Americans held up a sign that said, "Hamas supporters not welcomed on Native land." At the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City, the Hamas supporters set up tents inside the campus museum and refused to leave. At Georgetown, they have a radical Muslim professor named Jonathan A.C. Brown. He's so precious that he's got four fucking names. He's married to a propagandist for Al Jazeera, which is a radical Muslim terror network owned by Qatar, the same country that pumps all that money into American universities to get them to hire Muslim terror-supporting professors and to take Muslim terror students from Muslim terror states. This Jonathan A.C. Brown, I don't want to cheat you out of any of your initials. I know they're all very fucking important to you. I want you to get all the bang for your buck, Jonathan A.C. Brown. His father-in-law is a convicted Palestinian terrorist who spent years in jail in America and then was deported to Turkey. His mother-in-law was at Columbia protesting with the terrorist students the other day. As for Jonathan A.C. Brown, he has stated publicly that, quote, "I don't think it's morally evil to own somebody," and that for most of human history, human beings have not thought of consent as the essential feature of morally correct sexual activity. What the fuck are you talking about? This is normal to the savage mind. He spends his weekends on Twitter laughing about his family's ties to Muslim terror. This is who is teaching our kids. This is what radical Muslim terror money bought to teach our kids in America, to brainwash them, to rot us out from the inside. At Emory, where I went to school, the president called in the Georgia State Police and they broke up that terror encampment. Now, there's only one central lawn area at Emory. It's called the Quad. That's where the commencement takes place in 2 weeks. And the terror supporters just decided to walk in one early morning and set up dozens of tents like they own the fucking place. Who the fuck are these animals to take over the central spot on campus with their fucking Hamas tents? And then just live there and interfere with other students who may want to walk across the campus? God forbid they want to walk across the campus? Don't tell me that the protest was peaceful before the cops came in. The Hamas students bringing in their tents to set up living accommodations where they're not permitted to do so, including some outside people, that's not peaceful. That's trespassing. They don't get to break the law and then complain when they're arrested. They don't get to interfere with other students' rights to enjoy the campus that they attend. I emailed the president of Emory after October 7. After all, they certainly kissed my ass, begging me for money. And they didn't want minor money. They wanted like seven figures. I can email the guy. They had me on campus to talk to the students when they're trying to suck some money out of my pocket. When the Students for Justice in Palestine started going bonkers in October, I warned the president, you better do something. They're going to keep getting worse. They've been a problem at Emory for years, just so you know. It's not like this was something new, but Emory kept letting it slide. They're trying to appease. As I said, they celebrated on October 7. Then they assaulted a law student a month ago. The president ignored me again, didn't respond. That was on April 3 when I wrote to him. On April 25th, after the violent arrests, I wrote to him again, and I said this, you let this shit fester for too long on the campus with the SJP not being disbanded. It's clear you don't respond to feedback. Does a lawsuit have to be filed? I'm not fucking around when I say that. I sue. He didn't respond to that email either. He thought he could appease the alligator until the alligator ate him. Here's a tip, President, I don't even remember the name, Fenves, you're precious in your ivory tower. Stop hiring professors who love radical Islam. Stop admitting students from Muslim terror states. Emory is a leftist college now. It was not when I went to school there in the 80s. No place was like the schools today because no place allowed radical Muslims from the Middle East. And so, yeah, I saw the Georgia police putting a beat down on that old white lady professor, and I felt it was kind of sad. I did. But listen, I'm not a friend of the cops. Most of them hate me. Anytime I have a case where I've got to cross-examine them, they hate my guts. But I respect law and order. I respect people who sacrifice their safety to protect me. And anyone but an ivory tower asshole, out of touch professor, knows that when police are arresting people, you get the fuck back. You don't interfere and yell at the cops to stop. That's a guaranteed arrest. And that's what happened. She tried to reach in while they were arresting somebody. She fucked around and she found out. She resisted and she got slammed into the ground. It sucks. Nobody wants to see that happen. But when you're making an arrest, you have protocol. You can't decide, well, this person may not be carrying a gun just because they're old and has a pocketbook. You don't know. It's a nice life lesson that this professor apparently never learned due to her privilege. Another Emory professor, this Jim Hosterery, a religion professor who is currently leading, listen to this, a large research project on diplomacy, soft power, and the making of moderate Islam in Egypt, Morocco, and Indonesia. Excuse me, moderate Islam in Egypt, Morocco, and Indonesia? Give me a fucking break. Propaganda was seen during the arrests, tearing down police tape that had been set up on the Emory campus on the quad. They're trying to get people away so that it's safe. They're also trying to protect the lawn for graduation because it's in a couple of weeks. As the savages were screaming for genocide from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, and their zombie-like unison. This professor, Jim Hosterery, was asked why he was tearing down the police caution tape. He said the university is fascist. It's fascist. And then he threatened there will be more tents here for graduation. Hey, Jim, fuck you. Fuck you, Jim. This is a religion professor at Emory who pretends to teach about moderate Islam in Muslim terror states. He should be terminated instantly. He is not fit to teach students. He can pick up garbage. That's what his education makes him fit to do. That's what he is useful for. I can tell you that when I was there in the 80s, Emory was filled with Jews who spent all days lifting weights. I can tell you, I was there. I was part of it. I have no doubt that there would have been massive violence on that campus had they tried that shit back then. No question. No question. We would have gone ape shit. We hated Muslim terror then as much as I hate it now. But look how this country has turned in 35 years. Why? Two words, Obama and liberalism. They've normalized Jew hate. By calling in the cops, Emory clearly decided that they didn't want to be a school known as a place where radical Muslim terrorists rule the roost. But now the leftist faculty is pushing back because of the belief that the police went too hard, demanding that the charges be dropped and that the Palestinian voices are heard. I can promise you that if they don't keep this place clean from this sort of shit, their student body will be all Muslim terror supporters in a couple years. I would think that most sane people would not want that. They're not going to get any good students. No one else will apply to that school but leftist morons. That's what they want? Vaya con Dios, my friend. Finally, I would have had some respect for the other side, a genuine respect for people who protest Israel. Even if I don't agree with their positions, which I don't, but I can tell you this, I'd certainly listen to them and give them a fair shake. I'm an advocate. I listen to both sides. But if a single only, I would have listened to them, if a single one of them at any of these protests across the country, across the world, in fact, had expressed any regret about October 7 and said it was wrong. Listen, we hate Israel. We think that they're suppressing, oppressing, all that shit, but you can't massacre innocent people. That was wrong. That's all they would have had to say. And I would have said, you know what, man? We're, you know, if anything good comes out of that massacre is the fact that maybe we can communicate. But none of them, not a single one of them, opposed it. I mean, we can agree to disagree, but you at least have to be human. Not a single one of these people, not a single one of them said it was wrong. You're telling me from the start with that position that you are an enemy who wants me dead and I will prepare accordingly. You can all go fuck yourselves. I'll never hire someone from any school that capitulated to this radical Islamist horde. I'm telling you that right now. I would encourage every sane person with a business to do the same. Columbia, Penn, Harvard, MIT, Cornell, NYU, Rutgers. It's not like any of these kids that go to the schools that are doing this crazy terror shit are even smart. They got in due to affirmative action. They're clearly inferior intellectually. Listen to them speak. I mean, my God, listen to them speak in interviews. They all sound like Mushmouth from Fat Albert. Teach the schools a lesson. As people who give out jobs, do not reward these terror kids. Period. End of story. Lastly, why is it that no global conflict worldwide inspires the type of violent protests across the globe that we're seeing because of Israel? 600,000 Muslims killed in Syria. Some were gassed to death. No global response by the masses. 1 million Muslims kept in concentration camps in China. No global response by the masses. Muslim terror groups in Africa, they're killing Muslims for years. Boko Haram, burning Christians alive, burning churches. Where are all the right-wing Nazis standing up for the Christians? Zero. It's all about Jews. It's all about destroying Israel. I ask you this. Do you want America to become France or England, where radical Islam does whatever it wants, wherever it wants? In London, a Holocaust memorial at Hyde Park had to be covered to prevent vandalism to it, where thousands protest each weekend against Israel because the police know that the savages can't control themselves. It's not about Israel. Why are they destroying a Holocaust memorial? American flags are destroyed, set on fire in America. Palestinian flags are raised in their place all over college campuses here. Is this what we want for our kids, our grandkids? We're not going to be here forever. Or do we want to insist that radical Islam has no place in our great country, a place where so many of our ancestors fled to get away from fascism, which is what radical Islam is? I'm talking to you. I've been warning about this publicly for decades, and it keeps getting worse. Are we going to stand up? Are we going to put our money where our mouth is? Are we going to do something? Or are we just going to mutter to ourselves inside the confines of our cushy homes? Because you're not going to be here forever. And when you die, these scumbags are going to take over. Is that how you want to leave this great country that you love so much? Or do you want to make it better than how you found it? Jeffrey Lichtman for Beyond the Legal Limit. Thanks for tuning in.